Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon for all you listeners out there. My name is Kim with Compassion Dakini, and this week we have a very special guest, Lydia Rule. And I just wanted to tell all the listeners out there that finally this is our second season. Hopefully the season's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And I took a month off of doing some reflection, transformation, and learning about life. So as a guest for today, Lydia, can you say hello to our listeners out there?
Hello, wherever anyone is around the world.
And to all our listeners out there, if you'd like to call in and talk to Lydia, our number is 347-637-3220. Again, our number is 347-637-3220. So before I'm going to introduce Lydia, I received a letter from her granddaughter, Catherine Alice Strove, who wrote this essay when she applied to Colorado State, talking about Lydia, her grandmother called Yaya. So I read this letter, and I'm going to take a little bit pieces from Catherine's essay. So Lydia is also known as Yaya, or a grandmother. And here is Catherine Alice Drew describing her grandmother, who is our guest for today. Yaya has the ability to look at a piece of art and find the connection to the goddess. As a representation of creative power, of compassion, strength, and connection between people of the earth through their history and culture. Because throughout art, history, and culture, Lydia inspired women around the world to pursue their dreams and passion. Yaya has shown an example that believing in oneself is the only way to achieve life and attaining your dream that may seem impossible, and not be afraid of the person that we're meant to be. Lydia has a zest for life, and through her compassion, which make her a goddess, she sees the world through her infinity glasses with passion, beauty, and all that is good and is in it. But what Catherine said it best is, Yaya is a person of strength, of compassion, who possesses the zest for life and adventure. So thank you, Catherine. You have an amazing grandmother. And thank you, Lydia, for coming on to our show called Compassion Dakini, where we talk about life experiences of amazing women who are doing extraordinary things. So today we're going to talk about goddesses. And so can you, Lydia, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your banners that is displayed from museums to monasteries, from and also in women's prison and art galleries and all sorts of conventions? Can you just tell
sure,
us a little bit about your art?
I'll be glad to. One, I'm an artist. I've been one for 55 years, approaching 60, so I have a lot of art experience, but it wasn't my first choice for a career. I actually studied politics and political science and economics, but when I had three small children at home, alone with two of my sisters, so I had five, four of them were under 18 months, and I decided to buy some paint and canvas and paint on my kitchen counter where they couldn't reach. And that started me on an art journey. Then on the journey, I discovered there weren't very many women artists in the art history books, and I decided to start finding some. And then I started looking at what the art history books were teaching, and I studied in Europe on various with various courses in Romanesque and Renaissance art, and I was exposed to so much visual story and metaphor. I had to find out the meaning of the stories, which they don't tell you in the art history books, and that kind of sent me on a journey to discover her story instead of his story and everything. So,
wow. Uh-huh.
On that journey, I then began using the art that I would see and read about and use it in my own way to express the ideas that were the metaphors visually. So I started with printmaking, and I began to do a number of exhibitions. And then eventually I traveled to Turkey and was invited there to do an exhibition there at the Celsus Library in Ephesus, Turkey in 1995. And that was a big creative push to deal with how to get a form that could hang with no roof on it for a month out in the breezes and the heat, which we just experienced.
Uh-huh.
So the banners were born, the goddess banners were born, with 18 of them. And the first group was based on an archaeology site of discovery. And the man whose name is James Millart just recently died. And we visited the site recently, and it certainly changed from my first visit there. But I gifted my banners from that first exhibition to the site, and we just saw them hanging, which is pretty amazing because they were done in 1995.
Wow. So recently, you know, you took a group of very educated professionals who are a group of amazing, incredible women to Turkey, and Turkey is the land of great mothers. And so can you tell us about some of your stories on the trails of Mother Goddess, and what does a goddess mean to you?
Well, the goddess for me is the energy of the positive energy of mothering as a concept and as a physical experience. All women have had mothers.
Uh-huh.
And men, too.
Uh-huh.
And so you have a personal experience of a mother. But in Turkey, you can actually study cultures for 14,000 years who had a mother figure, a goddess figure at in their art. And that's what drew me there. So we visited sacred sites over the various millennia in Turkey, and ended up out at the youngest or the earliest one at Göbekli Tepe at the end of the journey. And many women wanted to experience the sites. That's the key. You can read about it in books, and that's wonderful. But you actually walk the path,
uh-huh.
And you get a whole different story and experience. And those places have great energies. They've been there for thousands of years. We can't really comprehend that so much in the U.S. because we're such a young country, except for the native people sites. Europe certainly has older sites, too. But Göbekli was, you know, 14,000 years ago, 12,000, and then you add the 2,000 we're in now, right now. So that's pretty amazing.
And that is amazing. That was like the first temple that we visited, and it was just incredible. And can you talk to us about, you know, the other great mothers like the Virgin Mary, the Black Madonna, and the great mother of Katahilk?
Well, what happened is that at Göbekli Tepe, which actually means Naval Mountain, they built these circular structures that the stones are just as large as some of the stones at Stonehenge.
Uh-huh.
And so to even construct them was a physical process that must have taken a lot of energy for that culture. Well, out there was at Go Beckley is a figure, I call it a Sheila, a woman in a crouching position, looks like she's giving birth. And she was on a seat at one of the stone circles there with two lions on either side of her. So she's one of the earliest images in art of a female birthing figure.
Uh-huh.
And if you consider that Göbekli Tepe means navel mountain, to me it's obvious that that's what it's about. But male archaeologists just don't go there. They don't make that connection yet. They seem to be blind to it. So then we go to Sihtahuayoc, where 5,000 years later, a figure in clay seated on a throne with lions was found. And she's also, it appears to be birthing, and she's the great mother of Sihtahuayoc, which is, again, 5,000 years younger than Göbekli. And she's the first image in art history seated on a throne. She precedes all the pharaohs of Egypt and the kings and queens and yada, yada, yada. So, that's why the story's so strong there. Eventually, it gets to the Hittites, the Phrygians, the Greeks, the Romans, and the Christians. And so Mary is made Mother of God in Turkey at Ephesus in 431 of the Christian era.
Uh-huh.
And, there's a Black Madonna shrine above the ruins of Ephesus that is we visited, and
uh-huh.
it's part of the Black Madonna traditions, which really kind of began in Europe in response to the black images of Isis of Egypt and Artemis of Ephesus coming with the traders to Europe, and eventually Christianity took over that image.
So on that similar line of the Great Mother Sihtahuayoc, I really appreciated how real she looks. She's not like a skinny figure that you would, you know, that we see in modern day. She was actually a really robust woman who shows strength and power. And
well, she's ample because think about it. If you are a culture, what do you want? Ample, want it to be ample so you keep living.
Uh-huh,
you want
uh-huh.
an ample mother who can provide food and nurturing and sustenance and so that life continues. And you can see in the art of some cultures as they're declining, their figures aren't ample anymore. They get skinny and then
yeah.
they go out of existence. You
yeah.
have to have food and water to live.
Yeah.
And so you want an ample mother. The other thing about her, though, is she's really an older woman. She's not a young woman. She has great big folds of belly. And when I was at a conference there 10 years ago, a woman from the University of Pennsylvania really pointed that out.
Uh-huh.
Because she could see it in her own body, and I can certainly see it in mine. As gravity takes over,
uh-huh.
things begin to kind of fold down.
But that's what makes it beautiful. That's like, you know,
right.
it's just like the lines in our faces. That shows us that we had life and we have wisdom through the years. So
right.
I really appreciate that part of when I saw the original clay artwork. And that was truly amazing for me. And then also a lot of the goddesses that you, in your art, you talk about the Mother Earth, the female energy and transformation and duality. And three of my favorite is the goddess that comes in three, like the three goddesses in the tree
right,
of life that
goddess.
You write, the triple goddess. Exactly.
Right.
So can you, you know, talk to us about the triple goddess like Hecate?
Well, again, it's a metaphor, I think, for a human life. And it's also connected to the cycles of the moon as they grow and then wane, and then are dark, and then they grow out of the darkness in a circle around all of life. So the triple goddess represents the young, virgin, new moon, the mother moon, and then the dark moon. So Hecate will have three forms of young, middle, and older. And she has power tools in her arms, fire for transformation. And all of us, and it's not just the Greek and Roman world that had a figure like that. The Aztecs have them, Peruvian peoples, they're in Asia. So the idea that womanhood can be depicted in three phases is in many cultures and in visual metaphors. So Hecate is a powerful transformer with her fire, particularly in the underworld. And we saw her. We visited her temple. And it was very hot there.
Yeah, so when I think of the triple goddess, like you have mentioned in a lot of the little essay that you write with it, it's like creation, destruction, and expansion. It's like all of us as women and girls, and when we get to menopause, we're all kind of going through some kind of life journey where transformation is happening through life. So can you give us some words of wisdom that you can share with us as the teens are going through transformation, as they're heading off to college this summer, or the single mom who is dealing with difficult times in the present moment, or just, or, you know, old women?
Well, words of wisdom. One, believe in yourself, which Catherine talked about in her essay to me. And find the story. To me, it's so important to find her stories. Learn women's stories. Because our culture is so mired, stuck in men's stories of war and conquest and heroes. It's imperative that we find the lost feminine and begin to learn those stories. There are many books. Even Disney now is trying to make movies of powerful women. So that's something that young girls can do. I gave all my granddaughters books about at their level of goddesses, and there's many apps, various electronic devices, so you can learn that way. All of us, as we live life, have experiences, and that's just the way it is. So you daily are getting something in your life that's probably a surprise that you didn't exactly expect. But I say those are the best teachers, because you can learn then how to deal with it. So often negative situations, failures, are the best teachers. The woman who wrote the Harry Potter stories, Rowland, gave a fabulous commencement speech about the power of failure, or the importance of failure, because that's what gave her the impetus to write the mythology of the Harry Potter, was her failure in life. And so you're going to get those things that you can't do, curveballs that you didn't ask for. And you've got to get up every day and say, I'm alive, and let's deal with it. And then life changes as you grow from a child to teenagehood to separation from your mother, to go on through the cycles, and compassion to me is do no harm and be present to the sacred in all.
And so can you share with us your, who are examples of Mother of Compassion through your artwork, through your travels? I mean, what are the symbols of Mother of Compassion around the world for you?
Okay. Let's take some of the stories that go with the images. One of them, of course, is Kuan Yin from the Orient, from China.
Uh-huh.
And she's described as she who listens to the cries of the world. So
yes.
a feminine energy that listens and cares about others is very much part of compassion. Then in Tibet, there's a fierce old crone. Her name is Palden Yamo, and she's the protectress of the Dalai Lama. And she is fierce. You know, she has a big sword to cut through ignorance, and she's riding on a donkey with an eye of wisdom on its rump. And she looks pretty scary.
Uh-huh.
But he, in the Tibetan traditions, the three things that you want to transform so you become compassionate are ignorance, ego, and anger. All three of those keep you from being getting to true compassion. And that's the female job, is to get to become, actually it's the male job in Tibetan art to become compassionate. And it's the female's role to bring about wisdom.
Well, that leads me to the next question. So what's one of the secret or all-knowing, you know, wisdom that the great mother goddesses have shared with you that you like to share with us?
Well, for me, again, it's my experiences of life that
uh-huh.
I see as a sacred journey. And it took me a while before I realized, when I put the pieces together, it's been an unusual journey. And art is what made it possible for me to have a metaphor to explain both my personal life, the life of the culture, and the life of the spirit. And it's worldwide. You can see it in the art of the world. And I think it's time that we honor those sacred images of women that cultures create. And that's why I do my banners where they, and you mentioned a few of the places they fly. This last month, they were at Chartres Cathedral with a workshop in France. They just have been at Glastonbury, England over this last week. They were with a woman singing a concert in Columbia, Missouri. They just came back from Italy. They're going to Australia. And they're at festivals. They're in exhibitions. They're in workshops. They're in musical performances. They were in a musical in Costa Rica. And a woman is talking about having them be part of a poetry reading experience that she's going to do in New York City about goddesses, and she'd like to have my banners flying. So I get requests a lot.
So
I send them with people I know and I trust.
And
I kept the chaperones.
So if the listeners wants to get more information about you, and how would they do that?
Well, I have a website. It's my name, LYDIARUYLE, two Y's that aren't usual, .com, www.lydiarule.com.
And will you be teaching any workshops coming up soon? Because I know that you do these annual thing in Hawaii. Is that correct?
Right. Well, semi-annual. Yes,
oh.
I'm going to be doing a workshop on Maui.
Uh-huh.
The 20th to the 25th of January, and there we do the workshop on sacred land. in the Hawaiian tradition. The energies are still alive there because, again, it's a young culture from being Christianized because it's over 100 years ago. But the native Hawaiians kept their traditions alive. And so they passed those down. And they're very powerful energies and powerful women there. I'll also be in Mexico the end of October with a young woman who is putting together a conference there on the Mexican goddesses. And we'll visit the Virgin of Guadalupe in Mexico City at her sacred shrine there.
Wow. So any last advice on about women doing these pilgrimage and how important it is for their journey as women, as compassionate beings? So can you give us...
I think, again, the experience of a journey is different than reading it in a book or seeing it on TV, because you're bodily there walking the path. And if you can walk the path with fellow travelers who are interested in the goddess and can, or interested in the feminine, and interested in her story, and you can learn from each other. You can't do that in isolation. You can only, you have to be with someone else to play off what they're experiencing along with you. You can do it as a solo, and that is certainly another way to do pilgrimage. I tend to do them more with groups. I got started with that in Turkey in 1990, and I'm still going with them. I've retired from them more than once, but I keep coming out. So we'll see. I've learned not to say I won't do any more, but I don't know how many I'll lead. I'm at the point in my life where I like to have someone else do all the organizing, and I just show up.
Well, the trip that you took all of us into Turkey, Lydia, was incredible. It was amazing. It was life-changing, transformative. It's just such a great pleasure and such an honor to be able to travel with you. And I'm so, so blessed to have finally met you. And you're just an incredible, incredible role model for me. So, well, anyways, as the show is coming to the end, I just want to say thank you so much, Lydia, for being our first guest. Again, the show is about, you know, sharing the words of wisdom through the experiences, because life is all about experiences.
That's right.
With these experiences.
Good luck with your show. And good luck with your life experiences. You'll get many lessons.
I'm sure I will. And I will embrace them all with open heart and with lots and lots of compassion. So thank you so much, Lydia.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So thank you, everybody, for joining our show for today. And lastly, I just want to let you share with you a really small nugget that I've learned from the Black Sea. And it's from an angel. His name is Apo, when we were swimming in the Black Sea. And he says, "May you be filled in your head with knowledge to be good. May you be full with your heart, filled with love to be great. And may you be full in the belly with joy to be compassionate to all humanity." So lastly, if you like the show, please send the link to all your friends and family. So in the meantime, good night, good evening, and have a wonderful day. Thank you.